What happens when you put several hundred committed socialists in the same room together and try to get them to agree on a set of rules so that they can proceed with their party's big annual conference? Oh, you really don't want to know. So join me now as we go in search of sanity at the Democratic Socialists of America's convention held in Atlanta over this last weekend. Gentlemen, if I hadn't just totally blown this already, our DSA friends got together in Atlanta. Now, the last I'd heard, all the good left-wingers were boycotting Georgia because of some abortion law or some gun law or something or other. But in any case, the socialists decided to meet in Atlanta anyway because they probably got a great rate on rooms during the August heat when nobody else wants to be in Atlanta. And if one thing socialists are really good at, of course, it's saving money. So with that in mind, I want you to see a clip. This is, I believe, from the opening rules establishing meeting at the DSA conference. And, well, somebody's got to get their little bit in. Watch the clip and see.
First of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus. Please, can we just, I know it's, we're all fresh and ready to go, but can we please just keep the chatter to a minimum? It's affecting my ability to focus. Thank you.
Thank you, comrade. Okay, is there a speaker against name,
point
chapter, pronoun?
Privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Bill, let's go to you first. Doesn't he have a point? Doesn't this James guy from Sacramento, he, him, doesn't he have the inherent human right to make everybody else shut up because of his limited attention span?
It's a tough question, comrades.
Indeed.
I'm not even going to, I mean, needless to say, I don't need to comment on this. I'll tell you what I will spend my time on. The institution of socialism in the kind of form that these people are talking about can only be realized through the ruthless application of violence and murder. So we got nothing to worry about. I'm pretty serious about this.
Well,
I really
absolutely
am. No, I'm pretty serious about this. If the Democratic Socialists of America were anything like the Bolsheviks or like the Maoists or even like Chavez or Fidel, they'd be out in the woods with their dungarees on murdering people, or they'd be at libraries in Switzerland making plans to murder people. And for people who want to bring about a social revolution, that's the word, revolution, and who are upset. See, here's the thing that I don't think this guy, maybe we should just write him an email. The problem with revolutions is they're kind of loud, you know? They make quite a bit of noise, what with the gunfire and the tanks in the streets and things blowing up and stuff. And if you're going to bring a communist or a socialist revolution to this country, I just don't think he fully appreciates just how noisy that'll be and how distracting. And I can afford to be flip about this because if this is really the... And I'm not convinced that it's not a production of, I don't know, somebody clever like Iowa Hawk. But in any event, if this is what they got, I don't find myself too scared. And furthermore, you can tell a lot about a political idea by the kind of people it attracts. And I'm feeling better and better all the time.
Indeed. I feel like, what was that John Lovett thing on Saturday Night Live years and years ago, the 1988 presidential election, when he did that brilliant Michael Dukakis impersonation for SNL. And they did one of the presidential debate sketches, and Dana Carvey as George H.W. Bush gave just this rambling, nonsensical Bush-type gaffe-filled answer. And the camera goes to Lovett's as Mike Dukakis and says, "I can't believe I'm losing to this guy." And that's what I think of every time I see these DSA jokers. With that in
and
mind,
then 30 years later, Hillary Clinton says it for real.
Yes.
You know, she actually says it in a non-ironic way.
Yeah. On a long enough time frame, everything is a John Lovett's line. I think that's absolutely true. With that in mind, Scott, let's go to the next clip here.
Hi, James Jackson, Sacramento DSA, he, him. I have already asked people to be mindful of the chatter of their comrades who are sensitive to sensory overload, and that goes double for the heckling and the hissing. It is also triggering to my anxiety. Like, the be comradely isn't just for, like, you know, let's keep things civil or whatever. It's so that people aren't going to get triggered and so that it doesn't affect their performance as a delegate, okay?
Scott, you know, socialism is usually sold as being a way of removing economic worry from everyday life. Everybody will be more or less the same. We'll all have a place to live. There will be enough food to eat, even if it isn't the fanciest food. But how do you have that simple, worry-free socialist life when everything you do is going to be scrutinized by this SJW DSA outrage mob?
Well, at this point in the process of their institutional evolution, they are in the honeymoon phase, so to speak. And it's kind of like, if to help our viewers understand how this works, it's kind of like a young, scrappy entrepreneurial company that first starts out and it's full of energy and life and ideas and a sort of can-do spirit and a do-it-now, you know, sort of ready, fire, aim kind of attitude. And then eventually the company grows and becomes encrusted with bureaucracy, and then you can't get anything done without having 17 meetings. Well, right now, these young socialists are going through this period of time where everything feels exciting and cool and everybody gets to speak, and you can stand up in a meeting and tell people you don't want them to clap their hands or make loud noises because it's triggering you, and you can do all of this kind of stuff that makes you feel like you're really making a difference. Eventually, when the commissar takes over and everybody is told, not just, hey, I've got an idea of what our rules should be, but this is what our rules should be. There will be no variance. You're not going out any other door other than the door I told you to go out. You're not going to speak unless spoken to. When that happens, then all of a sudden you go, well, wait a minute, this wasn't the dream I signed on for. And it never is. It never is the dream you signed on for, because in the seed of it produces the fruit of socialism, communism, despotism, and slaughter. That's in the seed, and you just don't know it when you're still at the seed stage. And you think that you're going to reach utopia, but you don't realize that that book, Utopia, was really a satire. You don't understand that it's something that is a violation of human nature, and you need to be able to recognize the seeds of that at the beginning. Right now, I'm reading a book called Freedom is an Endless Meeting, and it's a study of democratic movements throughout the history of the United States and how they were structured and how they operated. And it's from a left-wing perspective. And one of the things they're talking about is the difficulty. I think the term they use is they wanted their organizations to be prefigurative. Essentially, they wanted the organization not only to have a set of ideals, but to the way they operated would actually prefigure the ideals themselves, so that when their dream came to fruition, when what they wished for happened, they were already living that way. You know, it's kind of, if you're in a civil rights movement, you should be treating people with dignity and respect, no matter their race and all that kind of stuff. And in every one of them, I haven't gotten to the end of this book yet, but I suspect in every one of them, they're going to find that sort of persistent human nature stands in the way of making this happen. On the one hand, these people are funny, and you see this Democratic Socialists of America meeting, and you can't help but laugh. On the other hand, there's not a lot of difference between what I saw in these clips from that meeting and what used to be a diagnosable mental condition.
Wow. Political beliefs in action as a medical condition. I think, not only, Scott, did you nail that, but I think you're going to see it even more in action. You might think, from those two clips, it's really just one guy complaining that the room is too loud, and let's cut these nice kids a break. But I think you're going to see what I mean, that this isn't just one young man or two young men with issues. And by the way, don't those first two clips sound like a couple of white guys trying to boss everybody around? Are we supposed to be past that now? Anyway, I think in this next clip, you will see that this isn't just one or two people with a couple of complaints, but this is really the heart of modern democratic socialists. Let's watch clip.
We have quiet rooms that are available. There's a range of options of these, right? Please don't go into that space with anything that's like an aggressive scent, for instance, right? Because we don't want to put people in stressful situations that they don't consent to, right? And there are
right-wing infiltrators who are trying to get in here, but it's going to be really traumatic for people if we're not making an affirmative effort to de-escalate each other and de-escalate ourselves, right? Take a deep breath. And feel better before you say anything. Don't really talk to anybody who doesn't have a credential, especially if you claim to be from the press. You have no idea who that person is. Please do not talk to anybody who identifies themselves as a member of the press without having credentials. Don't talk to cops. By all means, don't talk to cops if there are cops there for any reason at all, right? And if you do see someone talking to cops, let the marshals know. We are safe and we are strong because there's power in collective work.
Don't you just hate it when uncredentialed MAGA police SWAT people use the wrong fun exits without being chill? Isn't that just the worst? The absolute worst? I can't stand it. Here's the thing, and I'm being dead serious about this. These guys are absolutely useful to the cause. They are absolutely useful to the cause. These are the guys that that Lenin uses to look all nice and kind and gentle and all that stuff. But as soon as Stalin comes around, those guys that you saw in there are going to be the first ones with bullets in the back of the heads in the mass graves. And the thing is, they'll never see it coming because they'll think that their rules, their huge web of intricate, stupid point and laugh rules are going to save them. And it just isn't so. And that is your right angle on that, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. If you like content like this, please click on over, become a member. We would love to have you on board as one of our producers. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.